I want to share God's word with you for a few minutes before we wrap up this morning. And I'd like you to go with me to Matthew chapter 11, if you would. And we're going to pick it up from verse 25, but just let me give you a little bit of background here. Jesus is speaking, teaching, praying out of frustration. If you look at the verses previous to what we're about to read, and you'll read this whole chapter this week, he's talking to people in various towns around Palestine, and he's doing miracles in these towns, and they're not responding. He's particularly butting his head up against the religious wall of his day, the religious leaders who, it doesn't matter what he does, won't confess him as Lord and Messiah. So Jesus is so frustrated here, and you read those verses, you can hear the frustration in his voice. He says to them, you know, in places like Tyre and Sidon, he said, if the miracles that have been done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have repented, which is a fascinating thought. It's almost like a sliding doors moment. If you've ever seen that movie, what could have happened if something else had taken place, or you'd gone down a different road or whatever. And he's saying, if miracles like I've done here were done in Sodom, they would have all repented. But he said, it's going to be easier for them on the day of judgment than it's going to be for you. And so it's out of this intense frustration of Jesus, not just teaching and preaching, but performing incredible signs, wonders, and miracles, and people going, nah, he's not the Messiah. Nah, I'm not going to believe. That he teaches these next things. And he's speaking to his Father in these verses. Verse 25, Matthew 11, he says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because. Now, that is a standard opening for a Jewish prayer. So as a rabbi, Jesus is using a standard introduction to a prayer here. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, or eternal truth, from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Fascinating statement. When he's talking about little children here, he's not talking about kids. He's not talking about young people. He's actually talking about his disciples. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about his followers, those who would follow him, not the wise and learned. And he's not here saying that we shouldn't be wise and we shouldn't be learned. But you know, ever come across people who think they're wise? Ever come across people who know it all? How annoying are people like that? If you're one of those, stop it. You don't know it all. None of us know it all. But there are some people, it doesn't matter what you say, they always know just a little bit more. Well, whatever you say, they go, well, that's not exactly right. And then they go and correct you. They really annoy you. Well, they annoy me anyway. And he's saying here, I praise you, Father. Because to people who think they know it all, people that are wise in their own eyes, people who think they've got it all together, you bypass them. Because you can't teach someone who thinks they know it all. And he said, you reveal these truths to little children. They're often referred to as the least in the Gospels, the least of these, which is not a derogatory term. It's actually a term referring to people like you and me, like other followers of Jesus on this planet, who are humble enough to admit that we don't know it all, who are humble enough to come and submit in reverence to the Lord and say, I don't know it all, I haven't got it all together, and yes, I do need you. And that's the context here. He says in verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And so this sense of humility and reverence and submission to the Lord is the entrance way into coming to know God the Father. You can only come that way to him, and it's the context of that coming that he then gives the invitation that I read earlier before we had that wonderful time of prayer for people, where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me give you a little bit of the Hebrew background here, because you can only fully understand what he's saying here if you understand the context of first century Israel. Every morning and every evening, someone who was committed to following the Lord under the Old Covenant or under the Hebrew Scriptures would repeat a prayer called the Shema, S-H-apostrophe-M-A. Sometimes in English, we whack an E in there and people call it a Shema, but it's Shema, S-H-apostrophe-M-A. And it's a well-known prayer. Many of you would have heard it. It starts, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might," and so on it goes. And it encompasses a number of scriptures, particularly from the book of Deuteronomy. During this prayer, they go on and they take on themselves every morning two yokes. Now, this is what Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you." You might have seen pictures of yokes. You can put yoke into Google. Someone did this last night. They told me after the service they put yoke in there and then clicked on images and it brought up lots of pictures of eggs. That's not the yoke it's talking about here, which is really good, isn't it? It's like, "Take my yoke on you." It's all white, I suppose. Yeah, the yoke's on you. Yeah. Thank you, Forbo. You can tell he's really started coming out with a lot of puns. Have you noticed that? It's taken a few years, but it's finally rubbing off. I'm sure Anne greatly appreciates that level of humour, probably about as much as Christy does. Just rolls her eyes and goes, "That's just not funny. That's just not funny. That's not funny." So Jesus' yoke he's talking about here is the yoke that they would put on animals. They would yoke two oxen together, for example, and then go and plough. And the two oxen yoked together would plough. A yoke can be lots of different things. When you come to Scripture, it talks about two things that binds animals together. It's used in the Bible for slavery. A slave would wear the yoke of its master. Servanthood. Sometimes it was forced subjugation. It talks about a burden or a load, oppression, bondage, and also marriage. There you go. Slavery, burden, load, oppression, bondage, marriage. There you go. I'm not even going to go there. But with this prayer, with the Shema prayer, they would bring two yokes, or they would accept two yokes upon themselves in the morning in preparation for the day. One of them was the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and the other was the yoke of the commandments. And so they'd get up in the morning and they would start repeating this prayer, and it was a preparatory prayer, recognizing the lordship of God in their life and then saying, "I take upon myself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven." That means exactly what I was talking about before. Everywhere I go, I will express his kingdom on earth. So that's when Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's that yoke. And I believe we're to take that on ourselves every morning, that we go out with that attitude. I've kind of modernized a little bit in my own prayer life, and I say, "Lord, I am filled with your spirit and I'm open for business." That's my prayer every morning. And then everywhere I go, I want to reflect his kingdom to people around me in whatever way is appropriate at the time. So that's the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. It's about priority. It's putting him first. The second yoke is the yoke of the commandments, and that has to do with obedience. And so everywhere I go, I want to be obedient. Everywhere a first century Jew would go, they wanted to be obedient to the commandments of God. That was the yoke. Now, all well and good if that's where they'd left it, but the religious leaders of Israel in Jesus' day had made the yoke of commandments absolutely impossible to bear, because God had given them 10 commandments, and their rationale was that if 10 commandments is good, then 613 must be better. And by the time Jesus came along, that's how Israel found itself, burdened by this heavy yoke of not 10 commandments, but 613 commandments. That's why Jesus said, speaking in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, about the religious leaders of the day, he said, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. That's what the yoke is, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And what was true in Jesus' day is still true in our day. False religion puts a heavy yoke on the shoulders of precious people. We see it all the time. We see it in the media. We read about it, and it repels people rather than attracts people to a gospel of grace. American writer Henry Mencken described religion as the haunting fear that someone somewhere might be happy. I trust that's not true of anybody here. In the midst of this heavy, laborious religious environment, Jesus came along and invited people, encouraged people to take his yoke, which was easy, and his burden, which was light. The word light there in the Greek literally means small in size. Come and take my yoke upon you because it's small in size. It's not one of these heavy wooden metal things with chains that's going to weigh you down, but this one's light. It's small in size because what Jesus came along to do was actually reduce the commandments, not from 613, not to 10, but to 2. In fact, when you get into the New Testament scriptures, it's basically the whole of the Hebrew scriptures are summarized by one word, and that's the word love. And so two commandments Jesus emphasized. The most important commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He put those two together as one, and then he gave the new commandment. Love one another, which was an old commandment, and then he added to make it new, as I have loved you. And he said, that's all I want you to do. That's pretty light. That's pretty easy to bear compared with 613. I mean, who could even remember that many? You'd have to read them all. Am I doing all this stuff? No. You can forget all of those. And you can forget the 10. Although the 10 are in the 2. Because if you love one another, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, and you love the Lord, you won't murder people, right? You won't covet, you won't commit adultery, so all the 10 are contained in those, but we just have to remember the 2. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Theologian Albert Barnes says this in his commentary on Matthew 11. He says, of all the yokes ever imposed on people, that of the Redeemer is the lightest. I'm going to finish up by reading through with you these verses from the Amplified Bible and then the Message. We're going to put them on the screens for you. Love the way the Amplified Bible puts this. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. And then that Greek word that we just translate as rest, the Amplified Bible gives the full meaning of that Greek word. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet. I encourage you just to meditate on that at some point in time during the week. Because you can read over rest and you think, oh yeah, rest, that's nice. But on the inside that you would experience in Jesus, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, it's good. It's not harsh or hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Eugene Peterson's Message translation says it this way. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. What a stunning statement. This is what we experience in Jesus Christ when we put His yoke upon us. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live free and lightly. How good is that? Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul put it this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He says that because it's possible for us as Christian people, even people that have walked with Jesus for a long time, and we start taking on ourselves, maybe we've listened to a podcast or a message or maybe there's something from our past that continually weighs us down in the present, and we think, okay, to please God, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and we add all of this extra stuff on ourselves instead of just taking it back to, okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as Jesus has loved you. If your yoke is heavy, you're yoked to something other than Jesus because His yoke is light and easy. Let's pray together, shall we?